And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Glad to be with you on this Monday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Game Day Monday, Northern State men's basketball later on tonight. We'll talk about that coming up later on in the program, plus a weekend recap with the Northern men. The ladies, the Aberdeen Wings, Aberdeen Central Hoops were also in action this last weekend as well. The girls and boys alike, the Aberdeen Roncalli boys, they start up 1-0. Talk some Aberdeen Cougars hockey, some D2 football playoffs, some D2 hoops. And also, oh, by the way, week 15 in the NFL continues tonight. Your Minnesota Vikings are back in action as they take on the Chicago Bears, a team that has not won since the bicentennial. They're having a tough go about it here a little bit as Matt Eberflus will be chilling on his couch drinking a Miller Lite saying, "See, I told you so. I wasn't the problem." But anyways, all of that and more today, plus a bag of potato chips on the show on FSA. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing great. You know, it's a Monday. This is our final week together before the new year, actually.
Yes.
Because we're off next week. We're taking a little bit of time to spend with our families and what have you. So Christmas week, we're going back east.
Yes, back east next week, spending some time with the family. Haven't seen a lot of my family outside of my parents and brother, really, all year. So looking forward to seeing those folks next week for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you were busy this last weekend back at home, or here at home anyway,
yes,
in Aberdeen with the Aberdeen Central squads as they were in action against a couple of Rapid City squads. We'll talk about that. And you know what? Week 15 comes to a close here tonight. Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears. And if you can believe it, after tonight, which, by the way, side note, why do we have another doubleheader tonight? Like, what are we doing? It's the Falcons and the who's?
The Raiders.
The Raiders, right? Like, what?
I saw that.
Why is that a thing?
I don't know why that game's on the schedule at all. Make it the Bears-Vikings. That should be the – especially this late in the season. You want to play with that in the beginning of the year, I'm fine with it. But when you give me a game like – Raiders Falcons this late in the season, I'm not watching a second of that game. I'm probably watching a lot of the Bears Vikings game. That isn't a great game, but that's the main one on Monday Night Football. When Monday Night Football used to be a standalone event,
mm-hmm,
now they're making it some sideshow with two broadcasts. I'm not complaining for more football, but come on.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of it at all.
It's always the worst games.
Yeah, it's these games that should be taking place on a Thursday in Calcutta. You know, Titans and Jags. We don't need that. We don't need that at all. But you know,
Titans Dolphins from earlier this year.
Yeah, that's right.
Awful game.
Seahawks and Lions was good. Titans and Dolphins was not good.
Not good at
and
all.
That game will never be good. We could do this show 50 years from now, and both of those teams could have great players on each team. It won't be a good game, I can promise you that.
Now, if they did something like Eagles, Steelers, and Lions, Bills, like we saw yesterday, I think I'd get into it a little bit more. But these two games, not into it.
Yeah, no juice. No juice, even in the very tail end of the season. Even though there is, you know, some playoff implications that come around with it, especially with the Vikings, because they're trying to get that number one seed. You mentioned the Eagles there. Vikings officially have locked up a playoff spot, so we'll talk about that, I'm sure. But, yeah, the Falcons are fighting for their playoff lives, as it were. Kirk Cousins is fighting for his playing career.
If he doesn't play well tonight, he's done, I think.
Yeah.
He's got to play well tonight. If he doesn't, could be Michael Penix time, man.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that's spot on. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Kirky going forward. But be very, very curious to see what he kind of looks like, not only tonight. That's like the only reason I would watch that game is just to see if Kirk Cousins can pull his head out of his butt. Because he's had a really, really rough stretch, man. What, no touchdowns, 6 picks the last 4 games? Is it 8 picks or 6?
I think it's 6.
Yeah.
And he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in the last couple weeks. It's very hard to believe that that's a stat for Kirk Cousins, knowing that he's Mr. Garbage Time Touchdown late in the game. How has he not thrown a touchdown in 4 weeks?
Yeah, I don't know. Find it very, very hard to believe, that's for sure. All right, coming up towards the bottom of the hour as well, we're talking some Redfield wrestling. Kelby Hawkins is the head coach of the Pheasants. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. First and foremost, though, let's get to the jump with
Mr. Unlimited
here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 on the FM dial. A lot to get to from the weekend, to be sure, and we'll get into that coming up in just a few. But this is one thing that I like about sports, sports talk in general, is you we play the Monday morning quarterback, we play the if game. Well, if this would have happened, and then this would have happened, you know, ifs and buts are all candy nuts, then we'd all have a Merry Christmas, as it were. But I saw something on social media, and I thought it was very, very interesting to me. Going into yesterday, the NFL what-if standings. The NFL what-if standings. Now, what if every one-possession NFL game had the opposite result?
Okay.
You take a look at the Kansas City Chiefs this season. They're so good in one-possession games this year. You take a look at the Vikings. They're so good in one-possession games. Now, what if they lost those games? What if? The Denver Broncos would be 11-2 this season. That's number one. The Cincinnati Bengals, who are probably going to miss the playoffs, they would be 10-2. Bills would be 8-4. This one made me laugh. The Jacksonville Jaguars would be 8-4 and in the playoffs. The Chargers would be 8-4. Your Ravens would be 8-5. And the New York Jets would be 7-5. And those teams would be your playoff teams right
now. I was wondering where the Jets were going to be, because they played in a lot of one-score games that they've lost. I thought they'd actually be a little bit higher on that list.
Yeah. I mean, the Jets have been terrible this season. They've been kind of a laughingstock of the AFC. But that's just it. They're really not that far off. If you look at these one-possession games, you score a touchdown here or there, you make a field goal here or there, they'd be a playoff team. But that's what separates good from not good. Over on the NFC side of things, your Chicago Bears would be 8-4. That's right. The Bears would be 8-4. They would actually be the number two seed in the NFC right now, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers being the number one overall seed in the NFC at 8-4. The Washington, what are they, the Commanders now? They're 8-5. 49ers would be 7-5. This one blows my mind. The New York Giants would be 7-5 and the number six seed right now in the NFC.
They played in 12 one-score games this year?
A lot of them, yeah.
Wow. I feel like they get blown out every week.
Feels that way, doesn't it? Yeah. Seahawks, they'd be 4-8. The Vikings would also be 4-8. And the Carolina Panthers, they still stink. They'd be 3-9. But, you know, just kind of interesting. The NFL.
I like that. Seeing that late in the season where teams could be if they made a kick, got a stop on defense, got a touchdown.
Yeah.
Be a different league.
It really would be. It really would be. And that's just it. We were talking about, well, if they would have done this, they would have done that, and then this, that, and the third. Bills and Lions yesterday. Very interesting game, very entertaining game. Defense pretty much optional. And I saw this on social media. Everybody is completely crucifying Dan Campbell for the onside kick there late. There was about 12 minutes to go, and they're down by multiple scores. Why, oh why, are they going for the onside kick? What an awful coaching decision. And I'm like, you've surrendered 38 points through three quarters. The ball never touches the ground when Josh Allen throws it. What do you mean, why? They can't stop a nosebleed.
Yep, I was just about to say that. I didn't understand why people were going crazy about it. You haven't stopped them. I guess people's perspective is, well, it sends the wrong message to your defense that, hey, we don't trust you to make a big play. Well, you've had all kinds of opportunities to make plays all game long, and you haven't done it at all. Now, I thought it was a bit early to do it. 12 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Maybe they get a turnover in there, and you can get a short field. That was their best hope, but I'm not going to sit here and say that that was a bad decision, because your defense couldn't do anything, and hey, maybe we get a spark play, we make it a three-point game.
You get a lucky bounce or something like that.
It was a good kick.
Yeah, wasn't bad. Wasn't terrible. Josh Allen, by the way, 23 of 34 for 362 yards, two touchdowns. He also ran it in twice, 68 yards, 6.2 yards per carry. What am I clinging to as a defense? What says, yeah, we're going to stop him? I'm okay with it, you know?
I'm fine with it.
There's been multiple times this season when we've called Dan Campbell to task. This is not one of them.
I can't get on him for this one.
No, I really can't either. So, you know, we'll let that one slide for sure. Now, staying on the local or regional side of things, of course, SDSU picked up a victory here this last weekend in the playoffs. Congratulations to them. Mark Gronowski leaves Dana J. Dykhouse Stadium, his final game there. Get this, 31-0. Has never lost a home game there at Dana J. Dykhouse Stadium. Rob, I almost wanted to call him Rob Gronkowski there for something. Mark Gronowski. Phenomenal. Can you imagine that? Your collegiate career, you never lose a home game. Never lost.
I wonder if he has any superstitions.
I would think so.
Going into a home game?
He's worn the same undies every single game. No, I don't think he's done that.
Like, but he does something specific at home for home games. That's why, hey, not because my play on the field, because I did this before the game. I ate this. That's why I'm 31-0 at home.
See those lime green shoelaces? You're welcome, Jackrabbit Nation. It's pretty phenomenal. Good stuff there from SDSU. Hey, speaking of the Lions, by the way, Jared Goff had himself a really nice game there yesterday. The Lions lost the game when he threw 5 touchdowns. Remember the game they won earlier this season when he threw 5 picks?
Yeah.
Make that make sense. Can you make that make sense? I can't. I don't get that. Doesn't make any sense to me. That's pretty goofy, pretty bananas. Packers, of course, by the way, last night they beat the Seahawks, and I mentioned the lime green had the action green their jerseys there last night. Before last night, the Packers, their losses have come to opponents with a combined record of 46-6. It's the highest by any team with at least 4 losses in a season since, get this, the 1929 Frankfurt Yellow Jackets. Tell me what you know about the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets, man.
Absolutely nothing, but that's pretty good for the Packers. They're battle-tested, to say the least.
And that's just it. I think the NFC is wide open this year. Playoffs are going to be a lot of fun. Philly has been playing out of their mind. Detroit, even with a loss, looked good yesterday on offense. Defense needs work. They need to get healthy. And the Packers are really good, too. Yeah, I think it's a good conference.
I think the Packers are sleepers. I think the Vikings are sleepers in this thing. I think the Lions, Tukes, they're on the decline. They're injury-prone right now on defense. Mm-hmm. And if they don't get home field in that bye, I think they're in big trouble. I really do. I think if they got to play a road game in the NFC Championship, or I think a team like Green Bay can go into Ford Field and beat them, a team like Minnesota can go into Ford Field and beat them, they got to win the division and get the bye, I think, and get that one seed for them.
I just hate that. Don't you just hate the number one seed that gets the only bye?
Yes. Should be 1 and 2 get the bye.
Yeah.
Like it's always been, but we got to change rules. We got to add another week.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we got to do.
Yeah, I just really don't like that. And they had the perfect system, 16 games, a bye week, 6 teams make the playoffs, and those first 2 seeds get the bye.
Even go 500 anymore.
I know. Yeah, that's right. 9-8 just sounds gross.
8-9 sounds.
What'd you guys do this year? We went 8-9.
Ugh. Yeah.
7-9 is not good, but 8-8 just sounds perfect.
Yeah, 8-8 sounds good, especially if you're trying to take a step after having a bad season. Like you go 3 wins, and then you win 5 games. Hey, we went 8-8. We were 500. Sounds a little bit better.
Yeah, we won 8 games this year. Yeah, but you had 9 losses. doesn't sound the same. Really doesn't sound the same. Finally, couple quick ones here, like as Marcus Hansen, NSIC Defensive Player of the Year from not this last year, but 2 years ago, Bemidji State defensive end. Remember, he was the only guy that could bring down Daniel Britt in that 5-game stretch where the Northern State offensive line gave up a sack. He has officially entered the transfer portal. So defensive end there for Bemidji State heading into the portal.
Wow, yeah. I mean, that, when you see something like that, it surprises you a little bit because he's such a great player and they got a great program. You know, maybe he's just trying to play at the D1 level, something like that. But when you see stuff like that, it definitely surprises you.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And speaking of which, Keegan Mountain as well for Northern State. In my opinion, maybe the best cornerback in all of the NSIC, first-team all-conference player. He, too, into the transfer portal for the Wolves.
Yeah, that stinks. I saw that, too, and we were texting back and forth. You know, just one of those situations where those kinds of players are pretty tough to replace. You can't just, like, have another guy in there and be like, hey, do what Keegan Mountain did. So definitely going to be a huge loss, but it gives a guy an opportunity to step up in his role.
I'm bummed about that one.
Yeah.
That's the one that I just, that's kind of a gut punch because I really like him as a – it's not like I don't like him anymore that he's gone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I like him as a person, really love him as a football player, but, you know, it's one of those deals where it's just like, you looked really good in maroon and gold. Really looked good in all black on that pick 6 against SMSU.
Yes, you did.
And, you know, I'm going to be rooting for him wherever he goes, unless it's Mankato. But I'm teasing. But wherever he goes, I'm still going to be rooting for him. But, man, it's stuff like that. You just look at it and you're like, golly.
Yeah.
Doggone it.
He's a great player. Yeah. He's a great player. And it makes you think, are these guys maybe trying to play at a, you know, the next level,
D1.
The D1,
that's
the FCS
it.
Level?
Yep.
I think that has a big thing to do with it.
Hey, I think that's it.
You do think that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think especially with Keegan Mountain, he's getting a bunch of D1 offers already for some mid-major stuff. So I think that's probably what his goal is, and you know what? God bless him for it. You know, his goals would be different than maybe other people's goals.
Absolutely.
And everyone's a little bit different there in that regard. But I'm rooting for him. I hope he lands somewhere good and lands somewhere where he can play and lands somewhere where he makes a big impact. So we'll wait and see how it all plays out, but wishing him nothing but the best going forward there. Certainly wish he would be with the Wolves, but that's the way it is in 2024 college athletics nowadays. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some high school hoops as Aberdeen Central, they picked up their first victory under first-year head coach Peyton Burkhardt. Talk about that. Plus, the Central boys were back at home. Tough weekend for them, but they were in both of those games. If they would have done this, maybe they could have done that. Well, maybe they're 2-0. You never know. But we'll talk about that and more coming up next on FS.
Point Play. Tune in all season long on Sunny 97.7 and online, HubCityRadio.com, for audio and video with yours truly, Matt McClure, on your home for Golden Eagle Hoops.
Sports Up continues on FSA, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at HubCityRadio.com. Kelby Hawkins, the Webster area Bearcat graduate, he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. New head coach for the Pheasants of Redfield on the wrestling front. Looking forward to that discussion with him coming up in about 10 minutes on the show. First and foremost, though, we're talking some high school hoopage with the Aberdeen Central squads. We'll start up on the girls' side of things. Big shout-out goes to head coach Peyton Burkhardt. First game in the books for her comes with a victory, 39-26, pretty low-scoring affair, but Central comes away with a 13-point win. Taryn Hermanson, 16 points and 6 boards. They did fall on Saturday to Rapid City Stevens, 67-41. But you know what? Just to get that monkey off your back a little bit, first game as a head coach, congratulations to Coach Burkhardt.
Yeah, and on the road, too. You got to go out west to play some good Rapid City teams. You know, they struggled with Stevens, a team they did beat last year to start the year here at home, but that Stevens team, they are really, really good. And, you know, to come out with the split to start the season there with the first-year head coach, you'll take that any day.
And it's one thing for me, especially from the northern perspective or college perspective, whenever you have these two-game little road trips, and you can say the same thing with high school, is you always love to protect home floor. You go 2-0 at home. If you're on the road, bare minimum, you want to go the split. If you can split on the road, that's certainly ideal, and they got that this last weekend out west in Rapid City. As for the Aberdeen Central boys, they were unfortunately not able to protect home floor. They fell to Rapid City Central and Rapid City Stevens on Friday and Saturday, respectively. Falling on Friday night, 61-58. Brendan Phillips hits 5 triples, but it wasn't enough. 23 points a game high. Just a tough luck loss there for the Golden Eagles on opening night.
Yeah, they let one slip there Friday night. They were up by 10. They couldn't miss in the first half. And then really, out of the locker room, they struggled with the baseline-to-baseline defense from Rapid City Central. Really didn't give them much problems to start. They had 13 turnovers in the first half, but I felt that was more what they were doing than what Rapid City Central was doing. But in the second half, especially to start the third quarter, they just struggled with that pressure by Coach T.J. Hayes' crew in Rapid City Central. And you look at the score, and it was 44-42. Then it was tied up. And you just never really thought that Central was in trouble. And then you look up at the scoreboard, they're down 5. And had a chance to tie it at the end. Bergen missed a 3, but yeah, you're not going to win a lot of double-A games, and we talked to Coach Brent Norberg about this, turning the ball over 27 times.
I don't think you're winning a lot of games doing that period, regardless of level. Boys, girls, B, double-A, college, doesn't matter. 27 turnovers is a lot.
Yeah, it is. And then they backed that up with a 50-40 loss against Stevens the next game there, Tukes, and it was kind of an opposite game. They just struggled to get anything going offensively, but 26 turnovers in that game. So I think for them, it's just kind of cleaning up the turnovers. You know how I am with taking care of the ball. It's gold. Mm-hmm. And I think they need to get more contributions from others on the squad. I mean, Brendan Phillips, he's going to be a big-time scorer. I think you need that second and third guy to put the ball in the hole. But I will say this about Phillips. First thing I noticed is just how stronger he is this year, too, because he put on a lot of weight, a lot of muscle. And he looks like he's going to – I think there's going to be a couple games where he drops 30 to 35 points. Mm-hmm. I think he's – but he's got to have that mentality sometimes where, hey, I can score. I need to go and get a bucket. When Central needs a bucket, he's got to be the guy to get him the bucket.
And his teammates are got to be the ones that find him, certainly. But, yeah, to your point, you want to have that sort of dichotomy of two, three guys that can be the guy that can get you 10-plus points in a game, because there's been times, regardless of the level that I've covered, I've seen games, I'm going to date myself here a little bit, but Donnell Minton, when I covered presentation, he could go out and get you 40, but the team would lose by 10.
Mm-hmm.
There was one night he went out and scored 57. Team lost. So you need more guys than just one to get you 23. You love the numbers, don't get me wrong, but you need to have that 3 to 4 guys that can get you 10 to 12 to 13 a game.
Yep, I think so. And, you know, I think it's going to come. I mean, they got 14 from Turner Bergen off the bench in the first game. Second game, they didn't really do a lot in the half court. They struggled to get in their half court set. And, you know, Coach Norberg said that it just seemed like a lot of dribbling instead of moving the ball, reversing the floor. And then when they worked it inside and got paint touches, they were able to capitalize. It was just getting the ball inside was the tough part.
Regardless of level, regardless of gender, whenever the ball sticks, you've got problems. Same thing happened with Northern State last year. Same thing happened with Northern State this last weekend at times. When the ball sticks, you've got problems. When the ball is moving, it's crisp, you've got flow. Everything looks better. When everybody touches the ball, or almost everybody touches the ball, you've got ball reversals, skip passes, movement, attacking off of movement. It's one of the reasons why I hate the NBA. It's all ISO ball.
Yes.
Let me pull up from 25 feet, and everybody else is just watching you shoot the ball. It's not fun. It's not aesthetically pleasing. When everybody else is getting involved in the game, that's when teams are at their best.
Totally agree, and that's something that I think they're going to work on at practice. They got a big week of practice coming up, because they got to go out west to play Spearfish and Sturgis. Those are big games before the Christmas holiday. You want to try to get a couple wins before the Christmas break. They don't play in one of those hoop classics, so the next game after this weekend isn't until January 4th. So you'd love to get a couple wins on the road.
Yeah, a little confidence going into Christmas time for sure. Also on the high school side of things from this last weekend, on the girls' front, you had Hamlin defeat Groton 44-41. This was a matchup that I kind of looked at and thought to myself, two good teams, two good defenses, how would that affair? And how would that affair look? Hamlin wins it 44-41. Addie Stephenson with 17 points. You had Addie Neuendorf with 12 points there as well for Hamlin in a 3-point victory. And a lot of multi-sport athletes there, certainly. And also on the guys' front from this last weekend, you had Castlewood just get past Wabe Summit, 57-55. Brian Lowy had 20 points and 11 rebounds there as well. Castlewood, they have gone from the hunter, I think, to the hunted. I think they picked up, what, 8 first-place votes in the first media poll last week, and a lot of people looking forward to that team this season, myself included. And how would they affair? And you know what? Pretty good game between them and Wabe Summit, just eking out a win at home.
Yeah, Brody Bass got that go-ahead layup with just under 9 seconds to go, but I'm with you. I think a lot of teams are looking at them, and they're going to bring their best game. They're going to have to respond and play well every night if they want to stay on top of the Class B standings. But that Wabe Summit team and that program the last couple of years has been really, really good. They had Jackson Wolliver for the longest time. He was awesome. And they got a couple other guys that have really stepped up. You look at Camden Nealon with 20 points there. They have a really good program, a little good system going on in Wabe Summit. They're a competitive basketball team. So I think Castlewood getting a win there, it is a really nice win for them.
No question, a team on the rise. Also, by the way, you had Hamlin defeat Groton area on the boys' front, 69-41. Easton Neuendorf pours in 27 points as Coach Neuendorf's squad, as they begin their title defense with a nice win against a pretty stubborn Groton team. I know Groton lost some talent with Lane Teets being gone, but I think that's going to be a Hamlin squad that's going to certainly make a lot of noise here in 24 and 25. And also of note this last weekend on the girls' and boys' front, on the KSDN front, you had Warner just get past Webster. That was down south there on 281, 43-41. The Monarchs just 2 points better in that victory there. And it was the Monarchs clipping Webster 57-52. Quarterback Drew Bakeberg called out his cadence and dropped in 18 points as Warner wins that one there. This is one thing I just love about South Dakota hoops is the these guys that just came off the gridiron like a day ago, and they just pour in double digits and they make it happen. It's a cool deal.
Yeah, Easton Neuendorf, you know, playing football. And
yes.
Then he goes on the court, drops 27, and hits 3 threes. I mean, it's just amazing how these guys can just transition from basketball to – or football to basketball, or soccer to basketball, volleyball. It's unbelievable. It's almost like it's second nature. Like, here we are, end of this basketball season. Let's put on a show.
He's crossing the timeline going, turbo set, and it all kind of works out for him. good stuff there for some of those local squads. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for the full boys and girls basketball slate from this last weekend. There was an abundance of high school wrestling as well. Check it all out on our website on hubcityradio.com. As it pertains to Aberdeen Central, they were out west in Rapid City. They finished with 5 top 8 finishes on the way to taking 6th place in the boys team points during the Rapid City invite there at the Monument. Encourage you to check out our website. It's all there on our website, indeed, hubcityradio.com. Sticking on the mats, Kelby Hawkins, head coach of the wrestling squad down south in Redfield. He'll join us next on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Hub rocking and rolling on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Should I say this on the air?
Yeah, go ahead.
Might not. I mean, we talked about it in our first segment. Jared Goff yesterday. We're going to talk some wrestling here in just a second. Goff, 38 of 59 for 494, 5 tutties, no picks. God, he only had a QBR, though, of 76.7. Didn't have it last night.
Nah, I guess he just wasn't on point.
Just wasn't quite there.
Nah, he needed 500. He might have gotten a B. He would have gotten an 80 QBR if he would have thrown for 500 yards.
Oh, what a clown network. All right, coming up next on the show, we're talking some Northern State notes. But first and foremost, we're going to talk some high school wrestling with Kelby Hawkins, the head coach of the Pheasants of Redfield. He joins us down south there. And, Coach, thanks for taking some time this morning. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You got it. Absolutely. We're not going to talk any more QBR with you. I think that's a whole new story. And that was a segment we had last week, and my head is still steaming on that one. But we're talking some wrestling here for sure. And I asked you off the air, you know, what year is this for you over there at Redfield? And I was going to guess maybe first or second year. You said year number two. How did everything kind of come to be? Because, you know, you're kind of a local guy or regional guy anyway. They're from Webster, kind of stay inside the NEC. How did this kind of come to be, being the head man down south there in Redfield?
Yeah, so grew up and grown and finished up at Webster. So, like you said, I kind of know the area. And I finished up 2 years of wrestling at Northern and kind of got in touch with some of the guys at Redfield. Their coach that was there for quite a few years was ready to step down, and I was kind of all for it with a tradition that Redfield has for wrestling. So I was pretty lucky to have a landing spot like Redfield.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, you know, Redfield, you know, known for wrestling, some great athletes that are wrestlers down there. So it kind of sounded like it was a no-brainer for you to jump in on that opportunity.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, they have great numbers, you know. I know a lot of area schools are kind of struggling right now to get kids, but Redfield's been able to keep it going. So,
yeah, it's been doing a great job, certainly. Kelby Hawkins here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I'm always curious about the genesis of coaches that have come from being athletes once, and certainly you do just exactly that. What's kind of your genesis in the sport of wrestling? You know, we're big guys in terms of, you know, baseball, football, basketball, certainly here, but wrestling is rapidly becoming something that we're talking about more and more. How'd you kind of get into the sport?
My dad was a wrestling coach for Groton, actually, and I kind of grew up in a high school room. Started wrestling when I was 5, and just kind of been, it's kind of been my whole life ever since. Obviously, I couldn't let go of it in college. I wrestled too many years in college, and now I got away from it a little bit, and I just knew I had to stay in the sport, so I ended up getting into coaching. So,
yeah, and you guys, you know, starting the season there, I saw you guys had the Gregory invite over the weekend. So how do you think the season's gone here to start? Do you like the progress your team has showed here?
Yeah, we had a duel. It was a little choppy, but we kind of figured it out a little more at the Gregory tournament and had a few guys win it. And it was good progress from what we saw the first duel. So it's a long season. We just got to make sure we keep guys healthy, and I want to be competing well there at the end of February. So,
Kelby Hawkins joining us here, head coach of the Pheasants Redfield squad on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Nutrition is something that we probably should talk a little bit more about on the program. I probably wouldn't be the best guy to talk about nutrition with, certainly. But how much do you guys kind of put that into the importance of being a good wrestler? Because I feel like, especially in a game like wrestling, it's it feels like it's maybe even more so pertinent to have an incredibly good nutrition and just kind of the way just training, and I guess in general.
Yeah, so I feel like a lot of high school kids don't really know how to cut weight properly. You know, everyone thinks of cutting weight. They're like, don't eat anything at all and starve yourself. And that's one thing I feel like I can bring to the table for these kids is like letting them know how they can cut weight a little better. Just eating healthy every day, not going out drinking soda and Dairy Queen all the time. So it's very important. Like you said, especially in wrestling, you might be limited to meals and you got to make sure you're putting good stuff in your body. So we just talk with them about that a little bit. And if they ever have help or questions, to come to us. So,
yeah. What if somebody's kind of in that tweener weight, coach, like they're close to, let's say 165 pounds and, you know, there's maybe another division at, you know, 144, they're sitting there kind of close to either one of those weights. You know, what is that kind of where your expertise comes in? And, you know, you say, hey, we want you at this weight or we want you at this weight.
Yeah, I'm not really going to make any kids cut weight. You know, I wasn't a huge weight cutter myself. I felt like sometimes it hindered me. So I kind of let them make the decision, and then whatever decision they make, we're going to go all in on that and help them any way they can. So,
all right, I'm going to ask a dumb question because I'm good with those. So you got the weight class of 126 and the weight class of 132. What's the cutoff there? I mean, how do you kind of figure out, you know, who belongs in which class? Like if you're 129, where do you wrestle at? Is it like one, if you're like 129.5, you're probably in 132. Is that accurate?
Yeah, you have guys that are a little chubby from football and stuff, and they have a little bit to lose. So if you're like 140 something, usually you make your way down to 32, and you get, after Christmas, you get a couple pound allowance. So that helps. Right now we have a bunch of guys kind of up weight classes, and then here after Christmas, they'll start settling down into where they want to be for state. So,
okay. I wouldn't have guessed that. So it's kind of, you can kind of almost not quite pick and choose where you're at, but if you're kind of like Matt said, you're kind of a tweener, you kind of, for lack of a better term, pick and choose where you are wrestling. Is that fair?
Yep, for sure. And if there's nobody else at those weights, you know, you want to cut down and wrestle there, spot's yours. So,
yeah, looking at this Gregory invite here, coach, it looks like somebody who, you know, Matt or did pretty well was Dalton Rathjen at 285. He looked like he had a strong performance there. And Gregory, what'd you see from him?
He's a newer kid. He actually hasn't wrestled since AU. He's from Tulare, actually, with our co-op with them. And so he's new to the room this year, and it was good to see him go out there and compete. And yeah, he ended up placing, which is great to see. And we just got to keep teaching with him. We just got to keep teaching him the fundamentals and just the basic technique. He's a big, strong kid. So it's nice to have some big guys on a team like that.
It's a Sports Hub here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our guest is Kelby Hawkins, head coach of the Pheasants of Redfield. And one guy that didn't win first place was Connor Zenz, falling in the first place match there to Kellen Hurd of Miller Highmore Herald. But I know he's probably, not to put words in your mouth, but I would imagine pretty high expectations for a kid like that this season.
Yeah, Kellen Hurd, he's a couple times state champ, and he's obviously going to be the one to beat. So we knew it was going to be a tough one. We wanted to go out there and compete, and I think we did all right. But we got to be able to compete with guys like that to play side state tournament. So he's a good kid. It was good to see competition like that for sure.
Do you find it like guys that are still trying early on in the season, they're still trying to, I've heard the term used here when we've been talking with wrestling coaches, wrestling shape. Do you feel like guys are still trying to get into that wrestling shape, maybe transitioning from football or another sport they played in the fall?
Yeah, for sure, because Christmas comes pretty quick. You got to teach them a bunch of technique kind of early on, the fundamentals, and then once we get back from Christmas here, we got to be getting into better shape, and especially wrestling shape. You know, can't just go run or bike a bunch and go out and wrestle a 6-minute match and be fine. So it's a little different than other sports. And I feel like after Christmas, we really got to push that and get into better wrestling shape for sure. So
stay away from the minty Christmas bars this Christmas. That's my vice. All right, it's a whole nother problem. Anyways, a couple more here with Kelby Hawkins on Fox Sports Aberdeen. You mentioned, Matt mentioned as well, the culture there at Redfield has just been fantastic for so many years, a lot of history. Why is the culture so good down there, down south?
Yeah, it comes from the community and the people. I can't even take credit for it because there's so many people that get all these youth kids going, the Edgars, Doug Wright, all those guys really pour into these kids when they're young. And that's what makes good teams in high school is when you got that youth program, middle school, all those good kids coming up. So I think that's why they've been so good for so long. And we hopefully will continue to keep pumping kids through when they're young and having them good when they're high school.
And that's what it takes, right, Coach, having that kind of youth program and building them up so when they do get to the high school level, they can kind of jump in right away.
For sure. And the youth coaches, they're teaching the same stuff we are, good basics. And then when they get up to the high school level, it's nothing crazy new for them, and they can get right into it. So that helps a ton.
All right, final one before we get you out of here. I know you're focused on the next task at hand. That's the MVP Titan invite coming up this next weekend. But is there a certain duel or a certain triangular or a certain invite that you're kind of really looking forward to that's kind of circled on your calendar for the season? No coach speak now.
I always kind of get into the Groton and Webster duel a little bit. I don't know. I know so many people from there, and I know a couple of those teams are going to be giving us some good ones this year. So that's always a fun one, going seeing the Groton and Webster people. And, that's kind of one I look forward to. Otherwise, we have some pretty good tournaments. We're going to the Lee Wolf this year. That should be fun. And, should be pretty busy.
All right, fantastic. I appreciate the non-coach speak response. Oh, we're just looking ahead to the next one. that sort of thing. We don't need any bell check around here. All right, good stuff. Well, congratulations on a good start to the season there at the Gregory invite this last weekend, that contest. I appreciate you doing this, Coach, and good luck this season.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Our pleasure, for sure. Head Coach Kelby Hawkins of the Pheasants of Redfield on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 and 98.5. And, it's interesting. That blew me away, the whole weight class thing. I would have figured if, you're just a couple of pounds north of this or close to it, if you were closer to that weight class, I would think that's the one that you would be in, but that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like you can choose, right, which weight you want to be in.
Yeah.
And I think maybe guys say, hey, I'm going to wrestle at this weight. I think I can do a little bit more damage at, let's say 126, if they're like the example you use there with 129. Like maybe they say, hey, I feel like I could do a little bit better at this weight than, because I think in wrestling, and like this is just total beginner, but
both of us.
Yeah, but I think a 5-pound weight difference is a big difference.
Yeah.
In wrestling. It's not like, it's just 5 pounds. It's not just 5 pounds. I think it plays a big role in it.
I think you're out on target there. I just figured if you were 129.5, that would round up to 132.
Yeah.
And if you were like 124, that would round up to 126, but you could, in theory, fight in the 120.
Yeah. That is interesting.
Strange. I wonder if it's like that in other. I'll have to talk to Coach Burkett about that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he'd be a good person to ask. We had Donnie Bowden on last week. We should have asked him that. We were talking about weight, but I don't think we got into specifics about that.
Curious. All right. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some college news and notes. Northern State Hoops was in action out west this last week. Out west. They're actually east. What am I talking about? Must be the coffee hitting. They were east, definitely, in Bemidji and then St. Cloud. I gotta need to look at a map, apparently. They were in those cities. We'll talk about that and much more coming up next on FSA. Sports Hub rocking and rolling on this Monday installment on FSA. Talk some Northern State hoops here in just 1 second. The Aberdeen Wings, a nice weekend for them as their offense continues to roll. 5 straight dubs for the black and white, as well as the red there. They got some red trim. And the Wings, a nice 6-3 victory against St. Cloud there on Friday night. And then backing that up with, what was it, a 5-2 win, I think? Yep, 5-2 win there on Saturday as well. Again, the offense, very, very diverse. It's just not one guy. You know, Bulgakov has been playing out of his mind this season. There's no two ways about it. But you mentioned Nikolai Tishkevich off the air. They just got multiple guys that can fill it up for you, and five straight dubs for Coach Langer's crew.
Yeah, they're playing really well. And what I think I've seen compared to what we saw last year is just, like you said, more diversity scoring. And I think there are scoring. Like, they had moments last year where they couldn't put the puck in the net, and you lose a game 2-1, 2-0, they get shut out. You're not seeing that at all this year, and the goaltending's been there. I think it's been timely, the goaltending. You're not seeing the crazy save numbers that maybe you saw from Dybal last year, but they've been timely saves. I mean, you look at what Cunningham's been doing, only 18 saves on Friday, but he made some timely ones that kept the game where it was at length, and then the offense did what they did. Five straight wins, they just look and feel like a different team than they were last year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. As for Northern States, let's take a look at what they looked like this last weekend on the hardwood, starting up on the women's side of things. A 1-1 weekend here for the Wolves, defeating Bemidji State 77-60. Rihanna Phillippe with 18 points and 6 boards. Elena Beneke had a really nice night, kind of filling it up not only in the points category, but also rebounds as well. Just one rebound shy of a double-double. She had 15 points. Madeline Bragg, 12 points there for her as well. And this, to me, just felt like one of those games where the Wolves said, okay, we're the better team. We know we're the better team. We need to go out and prove that we're the better team. And they played as close to a full 40 minutes of basketball that I think that they've had this season to a degree. And I thought the offense was so crisp. I utilized that word a lot on the air there on Friday night. They were credited with 12 assists. I wouldn't be shocked to see those numbers get reevaluated, because it felt like every time the Wolves were getting a basket, it was being assisted on. So we'll see if that gets updated. But the offense was just so, so good there on Friday night. And then they would fall to St. Cloud on Saturday, 75-72. I tell you what, man, Hallenbeck Hall has just been a house of horrors for the Wolves. They haven't won there since the 2016 season. It's been over, I think, 2,800 days since they've won there.
Wow.
They fall 75-72. Madeline Bragg had 19 points and 8 boards. Michaela Jewett had 16 points and 4 assists. She's now over 1,000 points for her collegiate scoring career, so congratulations to her, spanning Augustana and now NSU. DeConte Smith had 15 points there as well, as Elena Beneke's 3 at the buzzer, just a little bit off the mark, and the Wolves fall in a heartbreaker, 75-72. Wolves trailed 59-50 going into the fourth quarter, kind of switched to a 2-3 zone defensively. Defensively, they were aces in that fourth and final stanza, with the exception of maybe a possession or two. And that's the difference between winning and losing in this conference. The Wolves right now are sitting at 2-2. You can make a great case and a great argument they could be 4-0. You can make an argument that they could be 1-3.
Yep.
I mean, you look at the games that they've won and the games they've lost. The one game that the first game, you beat UMary at the buzzer, 73-71 with Madeline Bragg. Okay, you blow out Bemidji State, that's a 17-point win. You lose in overtime to Moorhead, and then you lose by 3 to St. Cloud. That's what this conference is. Oh, the Wolves are not doing well. Guess what? This is what this conference is. The margin for error is that.
So small.
So small. And you know what? I think they're going to be just fine. They're going to be back at home this weekend against Crookston and Minot. Great opportunity to head into the Christmas break above 500 in the conference, and a great opportunity to get right. But like I said earlier, bare minimum, you want a weekend split on the road.
Yeah, they got that, and they took care of business versus Bemidji State and made a great comeback effort. I listened to a good amount of the St. Cloud game, and I'll tell you, it just seemed like St. Cloud, they were red hot in that first half. You mentioned the post that they had on the broadcast. I mean, they just struggled a little bit defensively in that first half. And to have the guts to come back in that game in the fourth, you make some changes defensively, have an opportunity to win it. That's all you really could ask for on the road. Obviously, you want to come out with a sweep, but you got to look at it big picture. You'll take the weekend split. These two games at home are huge to get a little bit of momentum going into the Christmas break. I totally agree. But, yeah, that's definitely a tough one there on Saturday, a game that you probably thought, hey, we had a chance to win. We just were unable to make the plays down the stretch to do it. But I think you got to be happy with a split although you'd probably would rather win that second game because it makes the bus ride back home a little bit longer.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we'll talk about the Northern men here in just a second, Matt. But I mentioned this on the air. Look at last year, okay? You're 20-9, and you make the case, hey, we should have been in March Madness. We should have been in the D2 playoffs and the regional, all that good stuff. Well, you're not because you lost to Crookston. Mm-hmm. Oh, you lost to Crookston in December. Oh, you lost in the last game against Wayne State. It doesn't matter when you lose these games. It really doesn't. They add up. So your margin for error now, if you want to go ahead and make some noise in late February, early March, is this.
Yep.
You have to go on an absolute tear right now.
And I think also Paula Kruger mentioned it when we talked to her before the season started about being number two.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit different than what they were last year. So you're getting everybody's best game now being a preseason number two. I think that has something to do with it as well.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. As for the Northern guys, they would fall in a heartbreaker to Bemidji. They had a chance to take the lead late, but they just fell 72-70. I think they found something, though, in this two-person game between James Glenn and Caleb Mitchell. Had himself a really nice weekend. Four dunks, especially there against Bemidji State there on Friday. And then they would fall to St. Cloud on Saturday, 67-57, as James Glenn just not letting them quit. He had 20 points, a couple of late threes, but just couldn't quite get there. Check out Northern Notes in terms of wrestling and track and field, and plus the D2 playoffs, all on our website.